The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
In the summer of 2012, my next guest met the love of his life while out on a J1 in America. Dublin-born Kevin Cullen met Dungarvan native Aoife O'Donovan while attending a house party in Boston. After many dates and then living together in London and San Francisco, Kevin and Aoife returned home to the Emerald Isle, newly engaged. However, tragedy struck when Aoife was diagnosed with cervical cancer in November of 2020. She sadly lost her battle with that insidious cancer and died on the 1st of May, just a few weeks ago, and just a year and a half after her diagnosis. Well, now Kevin has decided to raise funds for the Irish Cancer Society by taking on a great challenge and while also raising awareness of cervical cancer. And Kevin joins me now in studio. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
And I'd like to extend my condolences to you on your loss and to Aoife's family as well.
Thank you so much.
Let's start with the business end of this. What exactly are you doing?
So I'm attending, along with some friends and family, to undertake a cycle from Walkinstown in Dublin, where I'm from, to the church in Abbeyside in Dungarvan, where Aoife was laid to rest.
And your route?
So the route is going to be leaving Dublin down along the N81 towards Carlow, where we'll stay the first night in Carlow, and then we'll do the next 120 kilometres down to Dungarvan.
Very ambitious.
It is, and I must say I didn't even own a bike until last week.
You did not own a bike. You've just bought the bike.
Yeah, I love a challenge, so we'll see how this goes.
How much time have you spent on the bike since you bought it?
I've actually been doing a little bit now. Every night or so I do maybe 5 or 10K.
Wow, that's significant enough. But the first time you get back on a bike, in my case, you know, when I've been off the bike for years and then suddenly I got a bike, you do get saddle sore.
Yeah, and it is funny with that expression when people say it's just like riding a bike. Well, I didn't have a bike for 20 years and then I got one and it wasn't just like riding a bike.
Yeah,
it was tough.
You can still do it. You can still balance. You remember all of that stuff, but the muscle memory is faded a bit.
It hurts. It absolutely does. I must say I bought the padded shorts with the bike and they definitely help a little bit.
So you're the Lycra and all the rest.
Yeah, all the gear.
It does help when you're doing a long cycle, I'm sure, that you have those kind of aids, and also visibility is important. But you will not be cycling alone. You have a gang cycling with you.
I do. I have a lot of friends and family will be cycling, and we've organised to have, kind of safety cars in front and behind. So obviously safety's most important.
But about 70K on the first day?
It's actually 80, I believe. So I think I need to ramp up my 10K cycles now too.
Yeah. When are you setting off?
It's the 3rd of September. So we're cycling the car.
So you've got a summer to get cycle fit?
Yes, I do. That's the plan.
Now, will you bring us back in time to the J1 experience and how you met Aoife?
Yeah, so it's actually a lovely story. So I went on a summer J1 to Boston with some friends from college, and Aoife did the same with her friends from college. So I was in UCD and she was I was in DIT, she was in UCD. And we were watching the Euro 2012 matches, and we had a big house party. And I just met Aoife at a house party. I saw her there, and I was queuing up for the bathroom, and I remember I said to Aoife, I'll let you skip me if you come back and talk to me afterwards.
Was it kind of love at first sight, or was it I'm not in love, but I'm open to persuasion on her part?
I don't think I was looking for love, to be honest. But as soon as I saw Aoife, I knew I wanted to get to know her. And then once we got chatting, we sort of abandoned our friends and just chatted for the night. And
the spark was there.
So we were... From day one, we just really clicked.
Yeah. So how did the J1 progress? I mean, did you become inseparable then, or did she go about doing her thing and you did your thing, but kind of kept in touch?
Yeah, I think we sort of just became inseparable over the summer, you know, and both sets of friends wanted to party and wanted to just go on these adventures. And myself and Aoife just, we didn't mean to, but we just fell in love.
Yeah. Now, when you came home, I mean, she's from Dungarvan, but attending UCD, you were DIT, living in Dublin, handily enough, going to college. When did you introduce her to the family?
Oh, I think it was about a week after I came home.
And what did they make of you? Because you were a young man yet. I'm thinking, is it too early to settle down? Is it too early to be serious?
Yeah, I think both sets of families really just sort of embraced myself and Aoife. You know, I think we're both easygoing people, and yeah, we
are. You true blue Dubs in your family?
Not so much. Well,
I'm just wondering, was there any kind of country blood in the family? So when you bring home a woman from Dungarvan, a welcome on the mat.
Yeah, so I think, well, we would be true blue Dubs, but at the same time, Aoife just had such an infectious personality, you know, just a really larger than life, yeah. So much fun. So I think my family just fell in love with her straight away. Yeah.
Anyway, Waterford not likely to be in Croke Park against the Dubs. So.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. Maybe in hurling, perhaps, but not in football.
Not in football.
So anyway, you got quite serious, and you actually travelled together and lived together in other cities.
We did, yeah. So for the first year of our relationship, we were obviously finishing college. Then we both did our master's degrees. After that, we moved to San Francisco and we stayed there for a year. Then we moved to London for a year.
And what jobs were you doing? Are you digital natives, that kind of thing?
So I'm a mechanical engineer myself. So I was working with Google.
Yeah.
Aoife had a job. She was, it was environmental policy. She worked with Kerry Group over in San Francisco. So we had an amazing time there. It was really just the two of us on the far side of the world. So effectively all we had was each other. So I always feel like we became a really solid team when we had that challenge.
And then you moved again?
Then we moved to London. We were in London for a while working away. And eventually we moved back to Dublin and we got engaged.
Yeah, and you intended to get married in due time. I mean, did you have a date at the early stage when you got engaged? Or was it, you know, we'll get married in the next couple of years?
Yeah, so we got engaged in 2018. And we just enjoyed being engaged for a while. And then we booked our wedding. So our wedding was booked for the 25th of February, 2022. So that was due to be in Kilkee Castle. So we gave ourselves a bit of time and we were just trying to plan it the right way.
And then the bad news. Now, how was the diagnosis achieved? I mean, what were the symptoms and the malaise that Aoife was feeling that led her to go to a doctor?
Yeah, so in the summer of 2020, Aoife started noticing some irregular bleeding, which I personally didn't think too much into, because I mean, I certainly wasn't taught about this in detail in my education or anything like that. And Aoife was getting a little bit worried about it. And the irregular bleeding started getting a little bit heavier. And at that point, we went to the doctor. We went to, I won't mention where the doctor was, but we spoke with a doctor who said that he was confident that it was nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
So the bleeding got a bit worse again. And it was actually on my birthday, believe it or not, that I brought Aoife down to the Coombe, where they took a biopsy of a mass that they found on her cervix. And then a week later, in November of 2020, Aoife was diagnosed with cervical cancer.
Now, the prognosis at that point was what? Did they say, look, we can treat this, this is a very early stage, or what did they say?
Yeah, so, just first, I must say that she was diagnosed with a non-HPV cervical cancer. So I didn't know this at the time, but it would be a cervical cancer that wouldn't be detected with a smear test, which okay. I was shocked
Which is about. Shocking to me, I have to say, when I learned this. Non-HPV will not be detected by a smear test.
Exactly. So my understanding is that a smear test will detect approximately 80% of cervical cancers. So it's just something that I wasn't aware of.
Yeah.
But when Aoife was diagnosed, she was diagnosed with a glandular carcinoma on her cervix, which was a tumor which was about 6 centimeters in diameter. So quite a sizable tumor. And further investigation, further investigation confirmed that the cancer had spread to the lymph nodes around Aoife's cervix. So even though the cancer was advanced, the medical team are quite confident that with a combination of chemotherapy and radiotherapy, the cancer would respond completely and Aoife would go into remission and we could continue with our lives.
And did that happen for a while?
So we obviously clung to that. And we were just hopeful that this would happen. And in March of 2021, Aoife had a scan on her cervix which showed that the tumour had responded completely. So the tumour was gone, but the cancer remained in her lymph nodes around the tumour. So we obviously took this as relatively good news. But a week later, the medical team did a chest CT scan just to examine to see if the cancer went anywhere else. And the cancer had at that point spread throughout Aoife's lymphatic system. So the cancer was in the lymph nodes around Aoife's heart and lungs and around her lower neck. And that had caused the cancer to move to stage 4. So it was in April of 2021 that we found out Aoife's cancer was no longer curable.
So the whole thing then was a kind of a holding operation trying to sustain her, but no chance of ever eliminating the cancer.
Yes, exactly. So we then moved into the stage of managing the cancer. And over the next year, Aoife endured a lot of chemotherapy, immunotherapy, different treatments. And I must say I'm just so proud of her, of how well she fought. I feel like if I was in a similar position or a position that a man could be in, I just don't think I would have lasted as long. She was just a real fighter.
Now, the wedding was planned for February of this year, and it was going to be a big wedding. That was not really possible to go to Kilkee Castle and have a big wedding like you had planned.
Of course. So when the cancer became non-curative, we cancelled that wedding and we said, look, that a classical style wedding doesn't matter to us anymore. We'll just do something small when the time is right, but we need to focus on Aoife's health now.
But so, you did set a date for a smaller wedding.
We did. So it was only about 2 months ago now, when or maybe 6 weeks ago, when Aoife's cancer was really progressing and we knew that time was unfortunately running out, that I applied to get a court injunction to avoid the 90-day waiting period. Yeah. So that we could rush a wedding through. So our wedding was due to be scheduled on the Wednesday, which would have been, I think, the 4th or 5th of May. But Aoife passed away on the Sunday, which was the 1st of May. So unfortunately, our second attempt at a wedding, we never quite got there.
You must be absolutely heartbroken.
Yeah, of course. It's absolutely devastating. The wedding aspect is just another sad dynamic to the story. But in the grand scheme of things, the fact that I lost Aoife just outweighs everything. It's heartbreaking.
The reason you're doing the cycle is really to honour her wishes too. She, as you said, wanted to highlight the fact that, you know, cervical cancer generally and how insidious a cancer it is, but also the fact that she had non-HPV cancer and that people should know this.
Of course. And it's even something that when Aoife was sick and she was explaining to people about the symptoms, initially the irregular bleeding, there have been so many women who have said, oh gosh, I bleed irregularly every now and then. And I would just like to be Aoife's voice on this. And I would just like to encourage anybody to get anything checked out. You know, smear tests and mammograms, I'm sure they're not fun at all, but those protocols are there to save lives. Yeah. And I'd fully encourage anyone to get any bleeding checked out, any lumps or bumps. It's early detection is key when it comes to cancer.
Well, you have set up a GoFundMe page because what you're doing is going to raise funds for the Irish Cancer Society as well. Also, we're raising awareness of this terrible cancer. It's gofundme.com/Aoife-O'Donovan-Dublin-to-Dungarvan-Cycle. But if you go to GoFundMe, and Aoife O'Donovan will find that page very, very quickly. From your point of view, you're going to continue to highlight this, but the cycle is the next big chapter.
The cycle is, of course, and just even as you mentioned about the donations, the cycle is going to be an 11 or 12 hour cycle. So rest assured, we'll be working very hard for any donations.
Yeah. Kevin, look, thank you very much for coming in. I think it's very important what you're doing. And once again, our condolences, our deepest sympathies on the loss of Aoife, both to you, your family, and Aoife's family in Dungarvan as well. Kevin Cullen, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.